We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. Today, we're at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. A lot coming your way in this final hour of the show, but right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. What's up for grabs this evening?
An evening with Andre Dawson, the Hawk. That's from 5 to 8 p.m. at the venue at Lenoir City. That's February the 9th, put on by the Hardin Valley baseball team. Each winner qualifies for the grand prize, which is a VIP ticket package. The VIP ticket package includes an autograph session on February the 9th. Doors open at 5. 5:05 is the meet and greet. 6 o'clock dinner. 6:45 to 8, the leadoff dinner. So an evening with Andre Dawson on February the 9th, Lenoir City at the venue, if you can answer this trivia question. LeBron James is closing in on becoming the NBA's all-time scoring leader. Named the last three NBA players that laid claim to being the career scoring leader in the NBA. Named the last three that could lay claim to being the all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
865-656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. Let's go to Brandon. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Brandon.
Oh, great. All right. Hey, how are you, gentlemen, this evening?
Swell. How are you?
Well, I'd like a better question, but okay. Let's leader for, yeah, okay. Kareem, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson.
Well, you started strong. Your first guess was correct, so you got one right.
All right.
Brandon, we sure do appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. But, boy, takes a swipe at the question. He's lucky we didn't say maybe we wish we had a better guesser.
He had no magic, did he?
Let's go. Just kidding, Brandon. Let's go to Willie. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Willie.
I'm going to say Kareem, Wilt. And then I'm going to say Bob Pettit.
Boom. Yes. Very nice. That's
Pow.
It. That's it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Bob Pettit. Pettit didn't hold it long. He was at a little over 20,000. Wilt Chamberlain held it for quite a while. He was over 31,000 until Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came along and pushed it to 38,000 plus. So those are the three prior, the last three NBA all-time career scoring leader. So there are seven of them in all, but the last three I thought were more pertinent because people would recognize their names. Willie, congratulations. You've got an evening with Andre Dawson. Tickets to that 5 to 8 p.m. That's at the venue at Lenoir City, February the 9th, put on by the Hardin Valley Baseball Program. So congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job, Willie.
All right, thanks, guys. I'm a big NBA guy. Anything else y'all want to know?
We know who to call if we do.
Yeah.
Outstanding work, Willie. Yes. Thank you very much. And I guess if you break it down by where they went to school, we've got Pac-12, Big 12, and SEC. Is that right? In those three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And you got a guy that was 7'2", 7'1", and 6'9"?
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones before that were like Joe Fulks, who was the very first one. He led the NBA in scoring the very first year. George Mikan was in there for a few years. A guy named McCauley was in there for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually 1 year. The initial ones didn't play very long. Eight years maybe, something
right.
Like that. There have only been seven of them that have been able to lay claim to be an all-time scoring leader. But those last three are among the all-time greats.
Yeah, so yeah. From the third most, the third in the list, so it would be SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, and soon to be no 12.
Yeah, that's right. High school.
That's right. But, outstanding. Love the trivia that goes with not only leading scorer, but you could do the same thing with leading rushers in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoy home run hitters in Major League Baseball who held that record. Always fun when you can just see the lineage of the record itself.
Yeah, and to read the history of those that led, which
yes.
I thought was pretty interesting. And by the way, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar averaged roughly, if I remember right, 24.7 points per game. Wilt averaged 31.1. That was his average.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had that one season where he averaged 50.
Yep.
So
just amazing, the point production.
Yeah. And there was one game where he had 55 rebounds, and you're thinking, God, who was he going against? It was Bill Russell. Well, wasn't bad. It would be interesting to see if he had played with the Celtics, how many they would have won, and if Russell had played elsewhere. And, look, Russell was phenomenal, no doubt about it. I just wonder if Chamberlain would have had the same number of titles if he had been with that franchise. But who knows? Maybe not. Maybe he wouldn't have been the quite the team player Russell was.
Yeah, very possible. And I'm still trying to picture Bill Russell being a San Diego conquistador.
Wow.
As Wilt was at one point.
And Russell was actually born in Louisiana, John.
How about that?
Monroe, Louisiana. So before he went to California. What a phenomenal player. Won championships in San Francisco in college, the Olympics,
yep.
Celtics. Everywhere he played, he was a winner.
And did it as a player, coach,
yeah.
And a coach,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
But so that's the answer to the Sports Fix at 6. We'll get a break. When we return, it's time for Hamer Time. VFL all-around great guy Steve Hamer joins us next on Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Customer satisfaction. That's what you get with Stanley Fencing and Gates. That is one of their primary concerns. They want to make sure they take care of the customer. I can speak firsthand with that. I had an issue with the fence. It was installed improperly. I called Stanley Fencing and Gates. They came out there and fixed it right away. Didn't take long. Gave me an estimate, and within days, they were out there and had it repaired. Here's something else they do that's customer-friendly. Look, there are a lot of folks that will go out and buy a wood fence gate, and you know what? It will not open or close correctly after about 3 months. At Stanley Fence, you don't have that issue. Stanley Fence guarantees their gates for 2 years. They have a proven system. That proven system works. Also, at Stanley Fence, know that they have the latest equipment and the best trained, best paid employees in the fencing industry. Knowledge, experience, integrity, appreciation, that's what you get with Stanley Fencing and Gates. Now, they are big enough for the large commercial jobs, but small enough to care about your backyard projects. At Stanley Fence, they're always hiring experienced fence men and apprentices with some of the best pay and some of the best benefits in the industry. Tennessee State Licensed Contractors, a member of the American Fence Association and the Better Business Bureau. Family owned, family operated for over 22 years. To schedule an appointment, call Stanley Fencing, 865-254-3844, or check them out online, stanleyfence.com.
Well, there it is. All you need to know that we've hit one of our favorite times of the week, and that's when we get to head to the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline, courtesy of our friends at A.G. Hines Company, to say hello to the Rim Tamer, VFL all-around great guy Steve Hamer, as he joins us for Hamer Time. And today, not any different. Steve, how are you?
John, I'm doing really well, man. I hope that you guys are doing great also.
Yes, sir. And I just wonder, because we all know that it's offense that puts people in seats. The saying is that defense wins championships. But what's it like just to see Tennessee essentially lock down opponents the way that they have this year? Georgia was fortunate to break 40 in getting run out of Thompson Bowling Arena as Tennessee won by 29. Tennessee 10 times has held an opponent to 50 or less, and 8 times they didn't even get to 50. So what has it been like to just watch this team do what it can do against so many teams?
John, it's actually remarkable, and looking back at the Georgia game, Georgia got off to a fairly good start. You know, they were up 6-4, and First media timeout, you thought that, you know, Tennessee might have a little trouble on the offensive end, and certainly you knew that they were going to put the clamps on Georgia and kind of slow them down a little bit. But, you know, I just could not have envisioned Tennessee holding Georgia to 41 points, because if you go back and look at Georgia's losses, you know, during SEC play and over the entirety of the season, you know, they've scored in the 70s. They've had high 70s. They've had mid 70s, low 70s, low 6, or, you know, high 60s. And for us to hold them to 41 points and shooting a putrid or a paltry amount from the three-point line and not shooting very well from the free throw line as well, you know, I believe, you know, in totality, they went, you know, upwards of like 15 minutes without a bucket if you combine the 7 minutes with the, you know, the eight-minute span there. So Georgia was just they were locked down by Tennessee, and it's just remarkable what Coach Barnes has done with this team defensively.
Steve, when you look at this Tennessee team, Joe Lunardi had them as a number one seed right now. Tennessee has never been a one seed in the NCAA tournament. They've been a two seed twice. Do you think that is meaningful for this program since they have never done that?
I think it's meaningful, Jimmy, for this program. I think it would, you know, go a long ways to really, you know, put our stamp our, you know, what we like to see in terms of what Tennessee basketball has been in the past, and what, you know, if they were a number one seed, that would really give our fans that stamp of approval. But I think even more than that, I think the general fan would like to see us, you know, not only be a number one seed, but to go a little bit further in the tournament.
Sure.
Because they'll always be that segment of fans that will say, oh, well, that's great. You know, you won the SEC championship, you know, a year ago. And you follow that up with, you know, statistically one of the best team in Tennessee basketball history. Well, that's great. But what are you going to do in the tournament? So the number one seed would be absolutely fantastic. But at the same time, I think a lot of fans are clamoring for, you know, Tennessee to get to that Sweet 16, to the Elite Eight level, and, you know, hopefully at some point get to the Final Four and win the big one. But I think that would go a long ways for our Tennessee fan base, for them to be a number one seed.
All right, you were a big man. I'm going to ask you a big man question. Toby Awaka, 4-for-4 at the foul line against Georgia. The other two big men, Uros Plavsic and Jonas Adu, were combined 1-for-6. If you're a coach, are you going to play the big man late in the game who's the best free throw shooter?
I am. Because you never know, Jimmy, what, you know, what it's going to come down to. You never know if, you know, our best free throw shooter, even though he's a true freshman, you never know if you get the ball inside, or, you know, he gets fouled going up, or he gets that offensive rebound. Because, you know, Jimmy, this kid, I believe, is going to be a special basketball player. And he's just learning the game. I think you heard Coach Barnes allude to that. He's just now learning the game. Once he understands positioning even better and how to use that size and strength and the girth that he has, I mean, he's going to be a dominating force. So, you know, especially when you get to postseason play, man, you need everybody on the floor to be able to shoot at a decent clip from the free throw line. That's not to knock Jonas or Uros, but we got to shoot better than 1-of-6 between those two if we're going to go further in the tournament.
What has it been like to see Josiah Jordan James continue to add to the minutes played? Of course, he had a high water mark in terms of more than 35 when Tennessee was short a couple of starters at Mississippi State. But what's it been like just to see Josiah Jordan James be such a constant presence on the floor for Tennessee?
I like it. You know, we've talked before, but, you know, he is that missing piece. Triple J just does so much. He erases some errors on the defensive end. Not that we have too many of them, of course, but, you know, he just makes up for, you know, so many things that could go wrong, whether it's, you know, if an opposing team decides to go small, he can match up on a 4 or 5. You know, and he's averaging, you know, right around 21, 22 minutes a game right now. And that number is going to tick up just a tad. But, you know, he is getting to the point to where every time, you know, he shoots the ball, you think it's going in. And we can all look back on you know, last year's game down in Austin, Texas, where certainly I think he kind of broke out of that slump a little bit. You know, he hit two or three threes there, if I recall correctly, and had a chance to put us over the top with that game winner, and it fell you know, a little bit short there. But I think that really got him to go on a run there, and he certainly had a great season after that. And, you know, the injuries have kind of curtailed what he's wanting to do this season. But, you know, I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of the work that he puts in, the leader that he is, just a stalwart for the Tennessee basketball team.
And also, what have you thought in terms of, we've seen a flip-flop. Zakai Ziegler has done such a great job coming off the bench for the vast majority of his Tennessee career, but moved into the starting lineup again after starting the season in the lineup early on. But he's back in the starting lineup along with James, and now we see Tyreek Key coming off the bench. What do you think in terms of a veteran being the guy that's trying to provide that spark offensively, defensively, you name it?
Yeah, you know, he proved me wrong, didn't he? You know, for the longest time I said, you know, he's probably better coming off the bench, but because of injuries and because of sickness and illness and all of that, you know, he was reinserted into the starting lineup and he hasn't skipped a beat at all. And you know, even more than that, kudos to Tyreek Key for understanding that right now, you know, it looks like it's better for him to come off of the bench. And he's responded. You know, certainly he hasn't shot the ball as well as you would want him to shoot it, but you know, we still got a long ways to go, and I think there's a lot of big buckets that are going to come from off the fingertips of Tyreek Key. So very proud of him as well. And Zakai, you know, we all know that it's really tough to play the point guard role for Coach Rick Barnes. You know, you go back to T.J. Ford at Texas and Lamonte Turner and Kennedy Chandler, the list goes on and on. It's a tough gig. So you got to have the right mindset. You got to be built the right way. And I think Zakai is built the right way and has that right mindset. And, you know, just very proud to see what he is doing now in, you know, inserted in the starting lineup.
Steve, what are your thoughts on what it means to the Tennessee programs to have game day for women in Knoxville on Thursday, game day for men in Knoxville on Saturday?
Jimmy, I don't know that, you know, another program can say that they've hosted game day as much as Tennessee has this season. You know, going back to football, having it twice here in just a matter of weeks, and then, you know, having game day here last night, just an electric atmosphere. I stood in the tunnel there just taking it all in at all of the dignitaries there, whether it be Elle Duncan or Rebecca Lobo or, you know, Andrea Carter, Holly Rowe, you know, taking that all in. And then, you know, just a few days later to have game day remain here for a really big matchup between two top 10 basketball teams. It's phenomenal. And again, you know, we certainly wanted the Lady Vols to win last night, and UConn's pretty good. I think we can all agree on that. They shot the ball well. Tennessee didn't shoot the ball as well and got behind, kind of dug a hole early. But I expect Tennessee, you know, the men's basketball team to come out with a little different energy than they did a few weeks ago against Kentucky. And I expect for them to come out and play hard right away, play well right away, and show the nation that we do belong, you know, in the top five, that we have a right to the number one seed, you know, in the tournament.
Have you enjoyed the SEC Big 12 Challenge?
I have. I've really enjoyed it, Jimmy, and I hate to see it going away because I think it gives us a chance to kind of gauge ourselves. You know, the Big 12 traditionally has been a great basketball conference, whether it's Kansas, Texas Tech. Baylor won a national championship just a few years ago. You know, Oklahoma's been good. You go up and down the roster of you know, the Big 12 and what they've done over the years, you know, and it gives us a chance to, you know, use that as a measuring stick. And I think the SEC has done quite well, Jimmy, over the last few years. I think we've won, what, three out of five? So, you know, I like it, and I wish it wasn't going away, and I certainly hope that we can, you know, find another league to link up with, because it's great, great basketball, especially at this time of the year.
Steve, we've made it to a championship weekend in the National Football League. Two very compelling matchups. In the NFC, San Francisco plays at Philadelphia. In the evening, it'll be Kansas City playing host to Cincinnati. Who do you like to make it to Super Bowl 57?
I like Philadelphia. I like what Hurts is doing at quarterback. I think that they are so dynamic on the offensive side of the ball that, you know, it's going to be tough for San Francisco. Although, you know, San Francisco's got one of the top defenses in the league, I think it's going to be tough for them to stop Philadelphia. And I think that, you know, Purdy is going to eventually, you know, do some of the stuff that rookies do. They're going to turn the ball over and things of that nature. So I like San Francisco. And going on the other side, you know, as much as I hate to say this, because they're a hated rival in the AFC North, I think the Bengals are probably, you know, primed to get back to the Super Bowl. I'd feel different if Mahomes was 100%, but I don't think that he is. And Cincinnati's kind of had their way with Kansas City over the last few years. So I think it's going to be San Francisco and the Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Boy, that's got to be really tough for a Steelers fan to say out loud.
Well, I heard him.
But I appreciate your objectivity, my friend. Steve, as always, thank you so much for your time. And I know you always enjoy joining us, which we love. And you very much appreciate the support of A.G. Hines Company.
Very much so. Had lunch with Mr. Gordon Hines just the other day and thanked him for all of his support. You know, he is just a special person. And for him to, you know, sponsor my segment, it's just incredible. So very, very thankful to Gordon Hines and the A.G. Hines Company.
Well, enjoy the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Enjoy all the basketball, the football, you name it. And, Steve, we'll catch up next Friday.
John and Jimmy, honored to be on, as always. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Steve Hamer joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by A.G. Hines Company. From masonry to roofing supplies, they offer tons of products to get your project going. They have two locations to fully service the East Tennessee region. That's A.G. Hines Company, providing building materials since anyone can remember. We'll get a break. Sports Talk continues on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes. The program today is at Oak Ridge Nissan.
So Tennessee took on UConn last night. UConn shot extremely well in three of the four quarters, and they escaped with a win over Tennessee, 84-67. Here are post-game comments from the Lady Vols head coach, Kelly Harper.
It was a great environment to play basketball in today. Love the fans coming out and being loud, and It was fun to be a part of. Obviously, really tough to slow them down today. They were making about every open shot they had. They had a few too many open shots, but they were making some tough shots as well. You know, we just weren't able to get enough stops really to get ourselves give ourselves a chance to win the game. Proud of our fight. Thought we had good effort and. Hopefully, you know, we can learn from this, grow, and be a better basketball team.
Kelly, Jordan Horston, the last two matchups with UConn has really poured it in from the points perspective. What can you say about her ability to really rise to the occasion when it comes to this matchup the last two seasons?
Yeah, she's competitive. You know, she wants to win. She's, you know you're always going to get that from her. And, you know, she wants it. Yeah. she wants it bad, and I think she, you know, she plays hard, tries to do what she needs to do, and obviously we were trying to get her some opportunities to get some open shots and to have some opportunities to create an attack.
Kelly, the atmosphere tonight was on another level. It was the biggest crowd since 2015. Did it feel like maybe the team wasn't necessarily ready for it, or what do you feel like it was that first quarter that, you know, they just didn't come out as strong as they wanted to?
Yeah, listen, I'm going to give that one to Connecticut. That's how great they played in that first quarter. They were efficient. They were their spacing was great, and they made shots. When they banked in one of the shots at the end of that first quarter, and that's how that whole quarter felt. You know, and we talked to our team about settling in, continuing to fight, continuing to play hard. Although they shoot 55% for the game, that's really good. We didn't think they were going to keep the 71% clip going. You just try to tell your team to hang in there and, at least make things a little bit more difficult, which is what we were able to do a little bit later.
Did you like all of the aggressiveness on offense and the shots that they took? Obviously, most of them didn't fall, but how do you adjust or evaluate the offensive performance?
Yeah, I think our ball movement wasn't exactly where we needed it, and our spacing could be better offensively. You know, we didn't get a lot in transition, didn't get a lot of opportunities there. So part of that is you got to get stops to get going in transition. I think there are some things that we can do better. I liked our aggressiveness. I like that. But I think we definitely need to execute a little bit better offensively.
From the perspective as a player and a coach, what does Geno mean to women's college basketball?
Geno is a big personality for women's basketball. He, you know, if you're a Connecticut fan, you love him. If you're not a Connecticut fan, you love to hate him. He's just that person, and he kind of embraces that role, I think. I think because of that, he can take on a lot of things that maybe he can shield his players from. You know, he takes a lot of that, and I think he enjoys, from my standpoint, I think he enjoys that role.
Kelly, you mean your team was on a roll in SEC play, but seventh loss to a ranked opponent. Is there not necessarily a mental block, but how does your team kind of rebound from this with another ranked matchup on Monday?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, we're not looking at it as that. We've got to see how can we be a better basketball team. And, you know, that's a really good team. That's another level, you know, and that how can we take that next step? We have improved. Anybody that has seen us play knows that we are very capable, and we can play. But what we want to do is take it another step. And for us, that's going to be in the details. It's going to be in the consistency, not from game to game so much as from minute to minute, not having lulls, not being two steps behind the offense to start the game. So I think for us, you know, there the details is where we will improve.
Hi, Kelly. Just two separate questions. One, when you speak about the details that you want your team to master moving forward, what are some of those? And second, with the atmosphere, also with game day being here and just kind of the hoopla and being able to have the We Back Pat initiative on that platform, what did that all mean to you to be able to, you know, do that as you all have been doing it in the, you know, recent years?
So to me, the details would be taking care of the basketball, understanding our defensive execution and defensive game plan, sprinting the floor every single time, making hard cuts. It's finishing layups, making free throws. I mean, it's the little things. It's not anything complicated. It's not that we have to learn a new offense or a new defense. It is the details and what we're already doing. That's all the time, and it's every single possession over and over. in terms of the day and the atmosphere and everything going on, it was awesome. It was fun. I think I hope that our fans enjoyed the excitement. Obviously, wish it would have been a better outcome for us, but we appreciate our fans being there, being loud. When it got really loud in the second quarter, when we were making a lot of tough, gritty plays, at one point I was so excited for our team that they were really experiencing that environment, because that was a lot of fun, and that's what you come to Tennessee for.
Coach, I just want to ask, you've played in this rivalry, now you've coached in it several years later. Do you think, how has the rivalry changed from when you were a player to now, and what do you think the future of this matchup should be?
Well, I think it's changed. Obviously, we're in different spaces right now as teams, and but I think you can still see there's a lot of competitiveness in that game. And I think it's a great challenge. I think that the matchup, at least on our part, is a great challenge to see where you're at and where you need to go to improve.
Lady Vols head coach Kelly Harper, after Connecticut won 84-67 last night, Huskies shooting 71% in the first quarter, shooting 55% for the game. They lead the nation in field goal percentage at 52%. They also were 8 out of 14 on threes, which was 57%. So a convincing win for Connecticut last night. A couple of quick tennis notes. The ITA kickoff tournaments are going on. Now, if you win your four-team pod, which the Vols and Lady Vols are involved in, you advance to nationals. So the Vols today beat Louisiana Lafayette 4-0. They play Oklahoma, and if they beat Oklahoma, Tennessee advances to the nationals in Chicago. And then on the women's side, they beat Wake Forest 4-0. They will next play Ohio State. It's at Columbus. Ohio State is a heavy favorite to win that match.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back to close out today's edition of Sports Talk from Oak Ridge Nissan as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk, the program today at Oak Ridge Nissan.
Tennessee Vols coming off a win against Georgia, in which they held the Bulldogs to 41 points. Toby Awaka came off the bench, had a nice showing for Tennessee. Here postgame comments from Toby Awaka.
Where have you grown as a scorer since the beginning of the season?
I think it's just been being patient, taking my time, reading the defense, and just going up strong with the ball. And then obviously outside of the game, practicing shots, just getting more work in the gym.
Coach described you as a big 17-year-old kid growing up in front of us. Is that how you would describe yourself at this point in the season?
Sure. I'm 18, but I appreciate the compliment from Coach for sure. But I think it's just a testament to the older guys being around them. They've been great mentors. Zeev, of course, Josiah has been a big help. Uros, Olivier, Santi, all those guys.
Tobey, one of the most impressive things about you for a freshman is you don't seem to get in a hurry. You don't get rushed. You don't get outside your comfort zone. You take three shots a night. You make them all. Have you adjusted your game? Or if we could have seen you play in high school, was there a time where you might get up 15, 17 shots? Or is that just how you play?
High school maybe, but now it's just understanding the position I'm in as a player, knowing that, going into the game, my job is to play defense and rebound. And then, the offense will come. Obviously, tonight I was pretty efficient. But, it's just not really focusing on offense, but just being patient with it.
Seems like since Josiah's come back, your playing time has been a little more sporadic. He'll play small more. Just how challenging has it been to be ready every game, not knowing whether the minutes are going to come?
Not too challenging, to be honest. I think having Joe back is great for us as a team. Definitely happy to have him back after all, he's been dealing with injuries and all that stuff. But for me, I'm just sort of keeping the same mindset I've had, you know, throughout the whole season. Stay ready, be ready, and just whatever my name is called, you know, go out and perform.
Y'all obviously take a lot of pride on defense, but how much do y'all take pride in shutting teams out for certain periods of time?
We take great pride. We actually, I think we call this a sack, you know, holding a team scoreless for three straight possessions. So, you know, we're definitely counting those things. And it just makes up a great part of who we are as a team.
Tobey, y'all can see the numbers that you're putting up defensively, and yet you still hear your coach say y'all need to be not just better, but a lot better on that end of the floor. I mean, are there times where you go, I don't know what we can do better right now?
I think Coach Barnes is just trying to hold us to a high championship standard. And, you know, like he'll raise the goal and we'll exceed it and he'll keep pushing it just so we could get better. He hates complacency, and that's something I definitely respect about him. Him always wanting us to get better, him always challenging us, and that's what makes him a great coach, and that's what's making us a great basketball team right now.
What's your mindset going into defending a guard-centric team like Georgia?
Just having the right mindset, playing defense as a team, not individually. Understanding that it's going to take you know the whole unit to sort of control that, and then just playing defense how we play it with aggressive mindset.
That's Tobey Awaka, Tennessee freshman forward. A nice outing against Georgia. Let's hear now from Jay Billis. He was asked about ESPN's game day being here for the men and the women. Very complimentary of Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville. Here's Jay Billis.
It's awesome. I mean, I think the game day franchise, whether it's football, women's basketball, men's basketball, is a showcase for the game. And you know, there's nobody better in our business than Rebecca Lobo. And, you know, that whole crew is just spectacular. And, you know, I have the privilege of working with Holly Rowe and Noelle Duncan very well, and they're spectacular. So it's nothing but good news. More coverage of basketball is better, and they do it. I'm sorry to say they do it better than us, but they do. So I'm a fan.
That is ESPN's Jay Billis. Tennessee taking on Texas. John, I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. Of course, this is where Rick Barnes used to coach. Last year, we saw it go down to the wire. Texas had a huge lead. The Vols made a run, almost pulled it out. But now they're in Knoxville. I think it's going to be a really good basketball game tomorrow night.
Certainly has the potential for it. And I just look forward to the opportunity for Tennessee to mark back. Last year was the first time that Tennessee had lost at one of the campus sites. Tennessee hadn't beaten Texas in a neutral site setting, but had been 3-0 on campus sites. Tennessee 2-0 games played in Knoxville against the Longhorns.
And also, as far as the NFL playoffs, John, I feel really good about Philadelphia over San Francisco. I just think their defense is going to make it tough on Brock Purdy. The one I'm having more trouble with is KC in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the Chiefs, even though Mahomes is going to be limited. Who do you like in that game?
In the second one?
Yes.
Boy, I just think that Kansas City, even though the Chiefs, the Bengals have never lost with Joe Burrow against the Chiefs, I just think that KC is going to be able to find a way to do it. Even if it could be Chad Henne for a stage, I just like his weapons, and we'll see whether or not they can get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and look, it's hard to bet against Burrow, right, based on what he's done. But I think Kansas City gets it done. And you like Philadelphia over San Francisco? Or
I'm going to go San Francisco.
Okay.
So they just keep winning. But we, Jimmy, have a great weekend.
You too, John.
Want to say thanks to Chris Bernard. Thanks to Sam back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening to Sports Talk.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.